Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 4 and verse 31 is where we're going to start. That's the verse we want. We'll do a little bit of a context in reading here. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Before we get started, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God to get us, give us great guidance through this lesson tonight and be able to help us to understand what it is that we are studying. Remember that we are praying for Tim Stevens at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Sioux City, Iowa. Tim Stevens is the pastor of that church. All right, let's have a word of prayer and get started. Milton, can you remember to pray for Tim Stevens when you pray for this as well? Thanks.
Thank you, Father. His church is strong, and them open their hearts and their minds so that they be able to receive your word
Amen.
Clearly and understand the need to continue in your grace. Pray for the pastor again, Father, filled with the Holy Spirit. That way we'll be able to hear your words clearly, put aside the man, and feed us, Father, out of your word.
Amen.
Amen.
The other day we were together and we were talking about the purpose of prayer. And in there we discussed these matters. Through prayer we obtain some things. We obtain mercy and grace, Hebrews 4:16. We obtain wisdom, James chapter 1, verse 5. Peace, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Joy, John 16:24. And provision, James 4:2. Okay? But I had more notes than I had time, and so we left it right there and talked about how great the Lord was with all of His provision. And so tonight, what we're going to do is continue on with some things that we obtain through prayer. What is the purpose of prayer? And you're going to see something, hopefully tonight, that'll be an encouragement to you. It was to me. Going through and preparing these notes and getting this lesson ready, I was surprised there were some things that I had assumed about prayer that I didn't understand quite as clearly as I do now concerning a couple of these items. Here's one. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, the Bible says, "When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Now, what's the context? Well, the context is that the disciples had been told by the Pharisees, "You cannot preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And they stood up to them in verses 19 and 20 of the same chapter and said, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So they were threatened, and they got back together, and when they got back together, they started a prayer. In verse 24, "When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and said," and began to pray. "And they said, Lord, thou art God which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is," and came on down and talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and how this was the determined counsel of God to do so. And then they prayed in verse 29, "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." Well, when they finished that prayer, the Bible says the place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what they didn't pray for in that prayer? Which surprised, I never even thought about it. You know what they didn't pray for in that prayer? They didn't pray to be filled with the Holy Ghost. What they prayed for, they prayed for boldness and the Lord to stretch forth His hand, signs be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, and for, you know, some things like that, and they praised God through all of that. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, that's interesting. On two counts. Number one, in spite of the fact that they had been baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, they still needed to be filled with the Spirit. In other words, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came into your life and has done, well, right at first He did, I don't know, a dozen things. Spiritual circumcision, He baptized you into the body of Christ, He made you a child of God, you were adopted into the family of God. Lots of things happen the moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Okay? But in order to be able to live the Christian life, you and I have got to be filled with the Spirit of God. It is impossible to live a godly life without the Spirit. And the great frustration in Christianity is to attempt to live a godly life in your own power. That's a terrible thing. As a matter of fact, that's so frustrating. A lot of people begin their Christian life and look around and they see what they assume to be mature Christians, and they're like, oh man, I'm not that good, and I got to really strive harder, and they really strive harder and strive themselves right into a ditch. Because it takes time to grow, and the Holy Spirit's the one that has to do that, okay? So that's the first thing, is that they were not going to attempt to do anything that required the power of God in the power of a man. All right? They were looking to God to do something, and the Spirit of God filled them. But if I'm not mistaken, I couldn't think of a place, and I didn't find a place, where somebody actually knelt down and said, fill me with your Spirit. Can you think of a place like that? This isn't a pop quiz. I believe that's right. So that's an interesting thing. You have a lot of people today in various kinds of churches that are praying for manifestations of the Spirit and fillings of the Spirit and a lot of Spirit stuff. And that doesn't look like what was going on here at all. What do you want the Spirit of God in your life to do for you? These guys said, we need boldness. Bang, Spirit of God came to fill them. What's the purpose of this? See, they had something they were doing. They were standing up to the threatenings of the Pharisees, and they were going to continue to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they wanted to see some people saved, and that can't happen if the Spirit of God's not involved. So they were praying for something like that. You know what? Honestly, when you think about this, God intends for us to be filled with the Spirit. He said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He intends for that. Perhaps when we pray, we should pray more earnestly, more specifically, and more sufficiently unto the Lord during our time in prayer until He does fill us with the Spirit of God. You know, a lot of us, what we do, and you've seen me do this about once a month on Wednesday, but it's a constant reminder to all of us. We get up in the morning and go, dear Lord, we sure need help today. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're gone. And the Spirit's like, whoa, I was trying to fill that guy and he's just left. Where did he go? There's nothing wrong with taking a little bit of time. You know, one of the greatest things that has happened since Randy has come on full time with us is that every morning at 9:30, Randy and Tony and I, when we're all here, some days, like on Tuesdays on the ships, or maybe one of us is traveling, we're in that office in there and we're praying together about a lot of things that concern this ministry. But you know what? I think that time in prayer has had an effect on my spiritual life. In addition to everything God's doing in this ministry here. There seems to be a supernatural working out of schedules and the ability to do things, and I'm just like, this is cool. This is really cool. So, the first instruction is that prayer is, you obtain filling of the Spirit. Prayer is connected. Now listen, I'm looking around here at a bunch of couples or friends of each other. You know what would be a real good idea for you if you're not doing this already? Take some time together as a family every day and pray. They say the family that prays together stays together, and I believe that, but I also believe that there is a spiritual work of the Spirit of God that takes place in your family when that happens. Amen. And it involves being filled with the Spirit of God. So that you have the supernatural power to continue on in the things God's given you to do. Okay, let's go to another passage. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Got that point, hopefully, clearly understood. Look at this one, Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What are we talking about? Well, look at verse 10. We're talking about the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. There's an evil day that comes to all of us. Days. Having done all, to stand. And then he starts going through the armor. And he says, your loins are girded about with truth in verse 14. You have the breastplate of righteousness in verse 14. 15, your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. 16, the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. 17, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then 18, praying always. Now there's six pieces, and then the seventh thing is prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So what do you get when you pray? What is the purpose of prayer? One of the things that is connected with an active prayer life is the filling of the Spirit of God. Another thing is protection. Protection. Prayer is a vital piece of the armor of God. And here, prayer strengthens us in the spiritual battle. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that strength comes even if we are not praying specifically against a certain attack or over a specific spiritual problem. What am I saying? Praying to the Lord is in itself a spiritual weapon that allows us to withstand the evil day. Because see here in verse 18, he says, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There's a great deal of intercessory prayer going on in verse 18. That is where I'm praying for you and you and you and you and you and other people that aren't in the room. And that exercise of prayer in itself becomes a weapon that allows you to withstand the evil day. Do you understand? And here, look, watch this. If you go along through your life and it's like, okay, dear Lord, you, in Jesus' name, amen, there's the list. Okay. And I don't mean to make light of that. Lists are very helpful to remember things like that, but sometimes it does sort of get stuck in its own routine. Okay. You go along like that, and all of a sudden now you sense this spiritual attack, and I have no idea where you're being attacked. But listen carefully. We all, if you're living for the Lord, we all get attacked. All right, so the spiritual attack comes, and then you're like, oh God, oh Lord, you know, I'm putting on the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, sheep, loins girded about with the truth. And oh God, you know, I pray that you get the devil and knock him out of here. And Lord, you know, this is a terrible time. Man, you just start urgently praying over that thing. You know what you're doing inadvertently? And you know what I'm doing inadvertently? I am magnifying the problem over which I'm praying. I'm giving it a lot of attention. And I'm struggling over it. And the more that I'm thinking about it, and the more that I'm stressing over it, and the more that I'm brooding in prayer over it, and the more that I'm thinking about it, the bigger it's getting. That seems to be a strange thing, but the more time I spend praying about it, the more air I'm blowing into it to make it bigger than it was when it started. And that's not what he said in Ephesians chapter 6. He didn't say, when you get attacked, start praying and magnifying the problem so it gets so big that neither you nor I can handle it. You know what he said? He said, praying always. So, praying always, listen, is a better weapon than just praying in urgency when the particular battle arises. Though, you know, you definitely will pray when the battle comes, but you won't be magnifying the temptation in your mind. Do you understand that? That's why he said praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. maintaining an attitude of prayer with the Lord, he says pray without ceasing and things like that, the maintaining that attitude of prayer, if those things come and you say, Lord, we need to deal with this too, and the Lord deals with that too, and you just keep going. He said that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Have you not found in your own life that sometimes when the urgency comes in prayer, you start really praying over the thing, you end up falling anyway? Try the other. Try what he said. Try the praying always as just part of that spiritual armor and see if the Lord doesn't do something to allow you to continue to stand even when the... You know, the Lord fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, right? But when the attack from the devil came, how much time did he spend agonizing in prayer on each attack before he replied? None. He just answered, bang, Scripture. Where do you think he got that from? The spirit of the ones that moved him, is the one that moved him into the wilderness. The spirit is the one that came upon him at his baptism. I believe what happened is he was in such communion with God in prayer and so filled with the Spirit. Bang, that Scripture. Bang, that Scripture. Bang, that Scripture. And the devil said, you know what, I'm out of here. And he stood. You see? It's a tremendous thing. Those were real eye-openers for me in studying this. All right, so the purpose of prayer, it's connected with the filling of the Spirit, and it's also connected with protection. There's another one, John chapter 15, look at verse 16. John chapter 15, and look at verse 16. Now, John chapter 15 is in the context of, I'm the true vine, my Father's the husbandman, you're the branches. And it's in here about bearing fruit. Look in verse 8, John chapter 15, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Okay? So the context is staying in here along this line of bearing fruit. Look at verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And not only that you bring it forth, but what? And that your fruit should remain. Correct? Now watch, we're going to read it again, read through that piece or I just stopped. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. See that prayer and see that prayer promise? So prayer is also connected with fruit or fruit bearing. It is integrally connected with bringing forth fruit for the Lord and having that fruit remain. You say, well, like what? What could I be praying for as it concerns fruit that is brought forth and fruit that remains? I'll tell you some things you can pray for. And you see them in the Bible. One of the things you can pray for is a divine appointment. You know what a divine appointment is? That's where you show up at just the right time. Now, you say, are there any of those in the Bible? I can think of one right off the top of my head, the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip is over there in a great revival at Ephesus. The Ethiopian eunuch is on his way down to Ethiopia. The Spirit of God says, go down there. He gets down there at precisely the time that the Ethiopian eunuch is reading Isaiah chapter 53. If he had to be reading anything out of the Scripture, that'd be the greatest place to be right there because it is precisely about what Jesus Christ had done for him. So, Philip gets up in the chariot. He's even invited by the guy to get up there. He gets in the chariot and he reads on down, you know, about all this. And then the eunuch says to him, he says, who's this guy talking about, himself or somebody else? And from that point, Philip began to preach unto him Jesus, and the guy got saved. That's a divine appointment. Now, there are many of us that are involved now in witnessing in some form or fashion. We're passing out Bibles. You're talking to your friends at school or at work or talking to family members or those kind of things. And you've noticed that sometimes you're talking to people and it's about like talking to that monitor right there or talking to this pulpit. It's like, man, why did I ever start this conversation? But you've also seen that there are times when you talk to somebody and it's like, how could they possibly be so tenderhearted? And receptive, divine appointment. Divine appointment. So I think that's one of the things. And you know, there's all kinds of ways that the Lord can put somebody on your mind. I've watched it through the ministry for years. You'd be going along and all of a sudden somebody will come to mind. You just, before you even realize it, you're already making the phone call, the appointment's set up, you sit down, and they're like, man, I don't know why you chose to call today, but I'm sure glad you did. I've been going through this in my life. The Bible has an answer. And the next thing you know, there is a great work of God being done in their lives. So that's one of the things you can pray for. Walter Wilson, probably one of the greatest soul winners, natural soul winners of all that I've ever known about, was a medical doctor, but he also did a lot of speaking in churches. He prayed every day that the Spirit of God would lead him to somebody that was under conviction. Now, you understand, in his day, there were a lot of people under conviction about things of the Lord. This day, they're under conviction about whether or not they were targeted by the IRS. So they could care less whether they go to hell. They just don't want to be targeted by the IRS. They don't want their metadata, you know, in Utah. And they're really stressing about a lot of stuff. But the truth of the matter is, there are still people who are concerned about their souls. And he'd pray and pray hard that God would allow him to speak to somebody that day that was concerned about their soul. And he's written book after book after book of those appointments. And it's amazing how many people he ran into that needed Jesus, that were really glad he showed up. Okay? Divine appointment. Something else we can pray for concerning fruit bearing is wisdom. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally. You can look it up. I just quoted enough of it to get to the point. And that's this. We need wisdom to say exactly what the Lord wants us to say. I can think of a lot of things to say when I meet somebody, because I'm a chatterbox. You know, talk about fishing, we talk about fishing. You want to talk about, you know, some things I can't talk about, but you want to talk about some things I can talk about. We'll visit, chat. If I can't think of anything to say, I ask questions. Because they all love to talk about themselves. And you might learn something. But how do you take that kind of conversation and move it to a conversation about the Lord? That takes some wisdom. You say, Fred and I were talking yesterday on the way back after this, and he was talking about a conversation he had with somebody. He says, you think that's a good lead-in? Don't know. If that's the way the Spirit of God directed it, it was a perfect lead-in. If it wasn't, then it'll meet with about the same as all the other ones do. What you want is that perfect word that comes out that fits like an ornament on the ear. And you and I don't have that kind of wisdom, but God does. And we can pray for it. All right? Something else you can pray for as it concerns bearing fruit is understanding. You say, in what respect would this be different than wisdom? Understanding, to be able to see the need of the person that you're talking to. How many times have I been with people? There may be two of us. There's a soul winner involved. I'm maybe the prayer partner. They start saying something that is like, that has their heart so pressed they can't think of anything else, and they say something and the soul winner goes right on. Now point number three is, and they're not addressing this problem. You understand what I'm saying? And so what you want is understanding, to be able to see what they can't put into words so well that is really between them and God. Do you know that there are a lot of people that would come to God, but they have an idol in their heart that is standing between them and God, or they have iniquities in their heart that are standing between them and their Lord? And oftentimes God can give you an understanding to speak something to them that will address that, and it's like, I didn't know that was wrong. And all of a sudden, it frees up the conversation and talk more about the Lord. That's something God has to give us, understanding. All right, and there's some other things we can pray for. We can pray for compassion. You look at Jesus, whenever he was dealing with people, one of the things that moved him, and he even gave the illustration when he did the Good Samaritan. that fellow that came by and actually did something for the guy that got beat up, he said he was moved with compassion. May I tell you something? You and I don't come with normal compassion for lost people. We look at them and go, well, you want to go to hell that bad? Go on. I mean, we get callous to it sometimes. And man, I'll tell you what, there's nothing like a good dose of compassion. You can pray for this. You can pray for strength and joy. Have you ever known, like we're doing this thing with Fishers of Men now, have any of y'all that have come out and at least passed out Bibles one time got here and were like, man, I would much rather be doing anything else than what I'm doing right now? Wouldn't it be nice to have the strength and joy and you're like here and next thing you know, it's like, man, I really want to be doing this. You can pray for that. Desire. And the Lord helps us with that. You know something that you and I can pray that is vital to this work? Matthew 9:38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Boy, that is a fabulous prayer. Do you know, before we started Fishers of Men, I guess for maybe a year and a half, we've been praying that prayer. Pray ye, and not like a rosary. I mean, like because he said so. Do you realize that this is kind of one of the first one of these that we've done because we don't have an organized visitation program? And there are 45 people in this church that sign up to do it. And every Tuesday afternoon or every Sunday afternoon, there are about 20 or 22 or 3 people that show up to do this. That's mind-boggling to me because it always goes 25, 17, 12, and whoever shows up to go with the preacher. And it hasn't gone that way. As a matter of fact, you know what? We're going to continue and do continue to pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Because if he can get up 45 willing-hearted people, he can get up 60. And you know how it goes. The more seed you sow, the more likely God's going to be able to do something with it where more folks will get saved. Isn't that remarkable? There are a lot of things that we can pray for. So in conclusion, much of our deficiency in power, in spiritual warfare, and in reproduction is in some way connected to an insufficiency in our prayer lives. And if we determine, by the grace of God, to follow the Lord's instructions, pray without ceasing, we'll probably see a commensurate, that's a big word, pray more, more power. Pray more, better protection. Pray more, better fruit. Just in fellowship with God, in prayer. Just having a conversation with somebody that loves you and somebody you love. And as I said, I think sometimes we press hard in prayer that you don't see other people praying. And magnifying in things in prayer that don't need to be magnified. So there are about 200 people that you know in here pretty well. We spend a pretty good amount of time just praying about those things which he told us to do. Might be surprised what God does with all those prayers. Amen. Father, we're thankful tonight for an opportunity to be able to go through these things in the Scripture. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to become better at this. Your disciples even said to you one time, teach us to pray. And you taught them some things. I pray, Heavenly Father, when we look at this opportunity that we have to fellowship with you in prayer and to pray over these matters, we want to be better at it. Father, we want you to be pleased with the conversations we have with you and for you to instruct us so that Lord, that you're accomplishing more in our lives and more in the life of our church and more in the life of our community and in the lives of our missionaries through the things that you've given us to take before your throne in prayer. And we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.